You're listening to the Bliss Runner Podcast, episode number 5.
I really believe that, you know, for me personally, being able to sort of turn that around and help other women, that sort of is what helps me feel, I guess, like empowered about it, I guess. Because, you know, nobody was there to help me when I needed.
This podcast is for any woman who has ever had a challenge in her sex life. Whether you've lost interest in sex in your long-term relationship, orgasms have become elusive, or you've just been longing for something more, something deeper that you can't quite even articulate, this podcast is here to help. In this show, we'll explore how you can transform your experience of sex by learning the subtle art of awakening your sexual energy. Now, this is not just woo-woo stuff. It's tangible, and it's having a profound effect on women's lives. We'll hear stories by women like you and me who've moved from lack of sexual enjoyment to incredible, expanded, ecstatic states by accessing this energy inside. We'll also talk to authors, teachers, and practitioners in the field for guidance on how you can get started on this deeply gratifying journey. I can tell you that it has completely changed my life, and I know it can enrich yours. I'm really glad you're here. My guest on the show today is a lovely woman named Jamise Lachelle. She's a licensed psychotherapist, a transformational coach, and a psychic healer for women who've lived through sexual trauma. Her expertise is built on experiences from her own past, and her story is truly compelling. So let's get right into it. Jamise, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited and glad to be here and share my story with you guys.
Oh, gosh. It's a real honor to have you here. And I'll tell the listeners that this is the second time I'm getting to hear Jamise's story because we had a bit of an audio problem the first time we did this. But it's such a compelling story that we had to do it again, and I'm so grateful to you for being willing to do this again. So Jamise, can you share with us what it is that you do now for a living? And then we'll go back and start with the beginning of your story.
Certainly. Yeah, right now I do work as a licensed therapist. I also do work as a transformation coach and healer for women who have experienced trauma. That's I really specialize in the area of trauma and sexual traumas. And so I help women to dive into that stuff, dive into their stories, and really begin to heal over these layers of what I call soul wounds, you know, these traumas that happen that really weigh on the spirit of a woman. And so I really embrace that and help women to overcome that stuff so that it's not holding them up anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's such important work. Well, can we go back then? I know that your story has led to where you are now. And so let's go back. Since our focus is on the evolution of your experience of your own sexuality, I guess we should start with a little bit of the backstory. You know, share with us sort of your upbringing and the attitudes in your home and your community about sexuality and what you feel your programming may have been related to that subject.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a household. I grew up in the Midwest, and I had a mother who was fairly more progressive than a lot of the other moms that I saw. And so we did talk about sex. We talked about sexuality. However, there was a layer to it that was just unspoken of. So my mom, she did talk to me about, you know, sex, but we didn't talk about pleasure. It was more talking about, you know, the mechanics of it. Mm-hmm. But growing up, I just had no concept for the idea of a woman experiencing pleasure and that actually being quite normal. And so I really had to, like many of us, I'm sure, I had to sort of figure that out on my own through stories from my peers and through relationships, really. My relationships ended up being my biggest teachers
Right.
as it came to, sexuality and all that. Yeah.
Right, the trial and error approach.
Right.
This is certainly a
Which,
recurring theme among so many women that the missing element in our sexual education is anything related to pleasure.
yes, it's been absolutely fascinating for me to discover this, and not just my story, but the stories of the hundreds and thousands of women that I've spoken to and worked with. The majority of the women I've connected with really aren't, they never really had an education component regarding pleasure, and that being very, very, normal for a woman.
Right. Well, at least you did have some open discussions. So that's a positive thing.
Yes, that's definitely a positive thing. I'm very grateful for my mother for at least not making that subject as taboo and off topic or off limits as, I've heard some other people describe their upbringing.
Right. So then tell us a little bit about your early sexual experiences and then move us forward into your story.
Yeah, this is really the meat of what's inspired and empowered me to really create a career out of helping women overcome their sexual traumas. My early experiences were very lackluster, to say the least. I grew up really feeling incredibly disempowered and really almost allowing other people's pleasure or, in this case, my partner's pleasure to be more important than my own. And I really carried that pattern with me throughout my early adulthood. I decided to do an enlistment in the Marine Corps right after high school. I just wasn't ready to go into college and really dedicate 4 years plus of my life to a career. I didn't know what I wanted to do yet with my life, so I chose to enlist into the military and put college on hold. I had gotten into some good universities, but I decided to go this other route, and that was very empowering for me as a woman. I was probably about 18 at that time, and to be able to go through the physical, mental, emotional training was so amazing for me as a young woman. It really transformed my entire being. I left that experience being so much more confident. However, regarding the sexuality piece, I was still so insecure and being really in this world where it was entirely masculine. I mean, I want to say at the time, the of the entire Marine Corps, both enlisted personnel and officers, I want to say only 6% of the entire Marine Corps was women.
Wow.
And so I was really sort of in this masculine world, which was unique. There's nothing in the world like it. There's just nothing like it. You almost have to experience that to kind of know what that feels like.
I'm having a hard time reconciling in my own mind how an experience like that could have been such an empowering one for you. What was it about the training or the process of becoming a Marine that was the positive side, and how, if the environment is so hyper masculine, which seems like the antithesis of empowering for a woman, how did the positive part come about?
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. The positive part to that experience came for me and really, I'd say maybe breaking the barriers that perhaps were once placed there. I feel like growing up, and even maybe a little bit today, women are told you know, we can't do this. You're only supposed to fit in this role or that role. And having the experience of going through what was 13 weeks of boot camp, and which was the same training that the men went through. They trained the women separate from the men, but going through that experience and saying and being able to see that not just me, but the other women who I trained with were able to endure that and come through it and really break the I guess idea for what a woman is quote unquote supposed to do.
I see.
That was the empowering part for me. That
Okay.
part was very and really that experience to being able to go through that and sort of break the mold, set for me going forward, set up this way of being, this new belief that, you know what, if I can accomplish this, I can go forward in life and accomplish anything. If I can get through this incredibly hard training, I can do anything. That
Okay.
that's where the empowerment comes from. Does that make
Got it.
sense?
That makes total sense. Yes. Testing your own mettle, discovering that you are far stronger and more capable than you ever even realized.
Absolutely, absolutely. And really, you know, looking around and looking at the other women who, at the time, maybe it was 6% females in the service, but to be able to see other women who had persevered and, you know, it was very empowering just to see what a woman can do.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, but then the atmosphere for women, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, at the time, what I will say about the Marine Corps, and I can only speak to that. I can't speak to all, you know, the various branches of the United States military. The Marine Corps very much really had this belief of camaraderie and, you know, brotherhood or sisterhood, family, and we took care of our own. That part was always present, but there was also this underlying layer of which I can now see since it's been many years later and I'm a lot older. It was almost this almost incongruent belief sort of operating at the same time of masculinity and compared to, you know, femininity. It almost was a power struggle, essentially. So in the service, I know myself and many of my good girlfriends who I had at the time, we really felt like even though we had done the same training, we had endured the same amount of physical, you know, mental, emotional trainings, challenges, I remember feeling as a woman that I was having to prove myself a little harder. I was having to work a little bit harder to really earn my place. And that sort of carried throughout my entire enlistment. It was something that even, you know, I was 18, 19 years old at the time. I had no concept to understand what that would have been like, you know, that wasn't something that I could have anticipated. I was going to have to face this glass ceiling. You know, I remember growing up and in high school hearing about this glass ceiling and, you know, about women having to maybe work a little bit harder and still not get to earn as much money, that type of thing. I experienced that in the military, and it was such an interesting and very kind of confusing time for me to, on the one hand, have these two operating beliefs. The one belief that we're all brothers and sisters here, we're all here taking care of each other, compared to this other belief operating at the same time, which was that, you know, women are having to work just a little bit harder to earn their keep here. It was very It was confusing, and it was just an interesting time in my life. It taught me a lot.
Yeah, wow. I can imagine. Well, so gosh, and at such a young age, you know, to process that kind of experience. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and I'm having a hard time imagining how I would have dealt with it. Just that, you know, the power, this the sense of the unequal power, would have been really a challenge.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I would have described it. You know, it was this unequal power that nobody was coming right out and talking about. It was almost like this elephant in the room. Nobody was coming right out and saying, "Hey, as a woman in the armed forces, you're seeing a little bit different. You're having to work a little bit harder to break these barriers." And the women felt it. I know I felt it. I felt that difference, but nobody was talking about it, and it was very challenging. And so for me, you know, just kind of maybe, you know, getting into the meat of how it is I've come to do this work that I do, that whole dynamic was amplified in this experience of having a sexual trauma, a rape that occurred to me while I was active duty in the military, and really going through, you know, that whole process of what do I do and who's going to help me with this and who can I turn to? It really, I can't describe, you know, the emotional toll that that took on me, because you got to remember, you know, as I reflect back on my time in the service, I recall mostly, you know, it was a lot of young people, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds being forced into this role and having to grow up very quickly, you know, and having to, you know, become men and women. And that sexual assault happened to me, and I really felt like, oh my goodness, like there was that part of me in my soul where, yes, I am in the armed forces, but you know what? I just want my mom. I want that nurturing. And I had a difficult time finding that ability to have that nurturing, you know, have that soft feminine essence that I needed.
Oh, so take us into that story, of the sexual assault.
Yes, that the sexual assault for me was absolutely a pivotal moment in my entire life. If anybody had told me, you know, that because of that instance, because of that moment, I would years later be doing the work that I'm doing, there's no way I would have believed it, because it was absolutely devastating, traumatizing for me. I was essentially raped by some fellow Marines from a different unit, and I remember having this moment where my feminine essence, that divine feminine within me that was always there, did sort of amplified a bit. My intuition heightened. I remember having this feeling come over me out of the blue, just hit me like a ton of bricks. This feeling that said, "Jamise, something bad is going to happen. You need to get out of here."
Where were you?
I was at a just a little house party, you know, just some friends that I worked with. Nothing's crazy, you know. We were just having a good time, just some young kids having fun. And I remember being amongst all these people, my friends, you know, my coworkers that I was working with, and having this divine feminine spark within me ignite, and this overwhelming urge to get out of there. I mean, I can remember it clear as day, you know, this feeling that I needed to leave because something bad was gonna happen. And so I remember, leaving that party, and I lived just around the corner. It was within walking distance. And as I was walking, I saw these three men come up to me. I recognized them from another unit. And just like that, they kind of swooped me up, abducted me, and suddenly, I went from being a strong, feminine warrior, this confident woman, to feeling absolutely broken, absolutely disempowered. And I really remember a moment of almost coming out of my body. Today, I know what happened. I sort of dissociated from my body. It was almost like I was watching this crime happen to me from above, looking down. And it was such a earth-shattering moment for me.
So how did you cope? How did you get out of the situation?
I remember, once I finally did come to, like I remember this moment of I had gone numb. I sort of dissociated while this terrible thing was happening to me. I couldn't fight them off. I mean, it was such a demoralizing event. As it was over, I came to. I remember sneaking off, and it was early, early in the morning. It was the sun was just about to start rising, and I remember feeling a mix of emotions, shock, fear, shame. And it's amazing how almost instantaneously I took on a little bit of blame by starting to question myself, why didn't you get out of there sooner? Why did you even go to that party at all? I feel like for me, and what I've heard in a lot of women that I serve, sometimes things like this happen, and then we as the victim sort of begin looking for proof that we somehow had planned it, or had some sort of guilt about the situation, when absolutely today I know, absolutely, I had no part in that.
Oh God, that just tears me up. I just can't even imagine going through that. And when you were walking away, did you think to yourself, now I need to go tell somebody? I need to, did you feel like you could report it, or did you immediately feel like that was a, did you have fear surrounding that idea? What were your thoughts about trying to
Yeah.
report them?
My very first thought, initially was to call home to talk to my mom. I was probably 900 miles away from home, active duty, off the East Coast. And I called home and spoke with my mother and received a response from her that was so, I don't know, it just wasn't what I needed. She and really today, as I reflect back, I see the response that my mother gave me as a critical problem that I believe many women have when it comes to sexuality. My mother just didn't have words to tell me. She kind of talked. I told her, I said, "Hey, mom, this terrible thing happened to me." I couldn't come right out and say the words because I myself was still in shock. I couldn't come right out and say, "Hey, mom, I've been raped." And actually, it was by some fellow service members right here in the United States, I kind of talked around it, and her feedback to me was a little cold. It was, something like, "Hey, things like this happen, and as a woman, things like this occur, and we just have to take care of ourselves." It wasn't really, I don't know, in that moment when you're going through a trauma, I don't know what could be said to to alleviate that, I believe in that moment, I just needed someone to hear me because I wasn't feeling safe and I wasn't able to get that from home. I wasn't able to get that from my mother.
Do you think they
So,
understood what you were telling her, as you talked around it? Do you think she got it?
I do believe that she got it because we got to, I told her something like, something happened last night and there were three guys involved and I started to tell her how I felt physically in my body. And I remember her saying, Janice, a woman knows when something's happened to her. A woman knows whenever, something's been inside of her. A woman knows. And she would. So I do know, as our conversation progressed, we were talking about the same thing. But n today, I'm aware that my mother, she had experienced a similar trauma that herself she hadn't fully dealt with. And so I wonder if maybe, she just wasn't able to, she herself needed some healing. You know what I'm saying? Like she herself needed some healing and she didn't have the words to say for her own situation. And so you never think something like this is going to happen, especially to your own daughter. And so I try to put myself in her shoes. But in the moment, I was so hurt and it really shut me down.
When I put myself in her shoes too, although I haven't had to deal with sexual assault, when I think if I had, and then hearing my daughter tell a story about it, and I hadn't faced my own trauma yet, I can imagine how that would completely color how you could hear that information from your daughter. And then also separately, just like imagining myself now, if my daughter were to come to me and tell me this story, how incredibly traumatizing it would be just from a mother's point of view to hear that that had happened to my daughter. That, I wonder if just being faced with that reality and not wanting it to be true because it's too upsetting, whether,
Too painful.
too painful. Would that color my ability to give her what she needs? I don't know. It's certainly something to think about.
It sure is, and it's one of those things like, I used to be so mad at my mom, and now I've had to let go of that judgment because, I put myself in her shoes. I don't know how I would handle that. I mean, I could see now if I hadn't dealt with my own stuff, how could I deal with my daughters, which is why I think it's so important for we as women to really deal with our stuff, so that we're not perpetuating this generation after generation. Yeah. It shut me down. I didn't feel like I could talk about it, and I definitely didn't feel safe. Because again, circling back, the Marine Corps at that time was so overwhelmingly masculine, and very much so. There was a hierarchy. The people who did this to me were higher ranking than me, and all these thoughts about, are they going to believe me if I go forward with this? Am I going to, is it going to be my word against theirs? There were three of them. There was one of me. All those fears came up and I was so afraid to seek help. I was terrified. And for the longest time, I didn't say anything until what ended up happening was my demeanor, it changed. It was night and day. I had, we would get performance reviews, and every performance review that I had thereafter, it would come up that I wasn't as open as I used to be. I seemed a little more closed off than I used to be, and that was very much the case because, the individual I did seek help from, it took me a few weeks to go forward with this, but I went forward to my closest superior who really was more like a good friend. We had we grew up in the same area, and he really became almost like a brother to me. He was my superior, but he really became like a brother to me. And when I went to him, even he did not step up to help me. So I really felt like I felt like my voice was not heard against this giant machine
Yeah.
that I was a part of.
Oh, I just can't imagine that either. Oh my God, it's just heaping on the trauma, you know. It's trauma on top of trauma, and how do you even dig your way out of that?
Absolutely. I began having difficulty trusting myself. I had difficulty trusting other people for sure, you know, because at the time I was watching the three guys who did this. They were still walking around, you know, they were walking around base. They were out in the world, and it felt like, you know, I was in the Twilight Zone. I had done what I felt was the right thing. You know, I went to my superior. I told him about this. I reported it, and nothing happened. Nothing
Do
happened.
you know whether these men had done this before or whether they'd done it after you? Had you
I
heard?
don't know. I hadn't heard. I could tell that one of them, while the sexual assault was occurring, I could tell that one of these guys sort of started having second thoughts, and he sort of pulled back, he pulled away. But the other two, I really don't know. I really don't know if they had done anything like this before. I have to assume that they probably had. Because it just seemed too calculated, you know. It seemed like something that had probably happened before me.
I mean, it's just I can't really see it being a spontaneous thing where they come upon someone and then, you know, I mean, it's so severe and extreme that it just makes my blood run cold to think about
Yes,
the
you know.
predatory nature of that kind of behavior.
Absolutely, because you know, you got to remember, you know, we were all a part of the same club. We were all Marines, and the Marine Corps trained us very well. So I was very well trained in how to defend myself, and so the fact that you know, it was 3-1, very predatory, absolutely, you know, and I don't know, it was just a nightmare. It really was. And I want to say that the biggest nightmare thereafter was the fact that, you know, I had no justice. I had done my part. I had spoken up. I had asked for help, and nothing happened. It really felt like a good old boys club, you know? And I hate to say that because I got a lot of positive things from my experience in the military. I really did. But that definitely colored my experience, and as soon as my enlistment was up, I was ready to get out of there. Definitely.
Is there, do you, how would you advise someone, this is kind of off topic, but who may find themselves in that situation? Who can they go to if they run up against that brick wall? Do they need to go to local law enforcement? You know, what do they need to do to try and seek justice?
This is what I would have done differently. So what I would recommend is, especially in a situation like that, where it was very much so this masculine versus feminine, I would definitely recommend finding a woman who's higher up, you know, your superior, the next, you know, a female who is higher up, because it almost was as though towards the end, right before my enlistment was over and I was ready to, you know, exit out, there was a woman who she was a little bit higher ranking than me, and she had observed my change. She had observed this change in my personality, essentially, and we spoke, And come to find out, something similar had happened to her. And we talked about that. I was so close to getting out of the service that, at that point, I was just ready to go. But she sort of scooped me up and kind of helped me to not feel so alone anymore. So I would really recommend that if this has happened to another woman, to really seek out another woman higher up to sort of help navigate that process with you. Because at the time, and I'm sure today maybe it's the same way, I don't know. It was very much an honor system, and rank mattered, So a lower ranking person versus a higher ranking person's word, like the typical the general consensus would be whoever's got the highest rank, that's the person we're gonna listen to, So I would really recommend finding someone who you can trust and connect with, who's a little bit higher ranking than you, who may be able to sort of help you fight that battle.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're at the point where you're leaving the service, and tell us what it was like for you after that when you were, starting to get involved in relationships, and how did you navigate the waters of this trauma at that point?
At that point, I hadn't exactly realized that it was because of this trauma, but I became so shut down sexually. I really just thought that was normal. I would find myself in relationships. I had a few very long-term relationships, where, we had gotten to the point where we were talking about commitment, marriage, that type of thing, and I was never able to experience pleasure in the bedroom. I just thought that I was one of these women who didn't get to have a vaginal orgasm, I just thought, hey, this is my life now. And so I was always a little dissatisfied though. It felt like that wasn't right. It felt like that wasn't natural. And it took me years to link the fact that I had essentially shut myself down sexually in my womb center. That was a result of this trauma that happened. It took me years to link that, but through trial and error and really just continuing to heal and shed layers, I was able to link that and get some help. I was able to get some help through both going through therapy, really. I went through therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder, specifically around what the VA calls military sexual trauma. At the time, back then, there really wasn't a they're really sweeping this stuff under the rug. I mean, this has happened to thousands of women in the service. Back then, they were sweeping it under the rug, and today, the Veterans Administration really does a good job of trying to get treatment for anybody who's experienced a sexual assault while in the military, which makes me so happy. I'm so glad that it's being acknowledged now.
Yeah, well, that's certainly an important piece, but of course, my brain just is saying, well, what about on the prevention side of things? Why, what are the efforts being done on that end?
Before it gets to this point,
Yeah. But I mean, I'm glad that there are resources to help all of these thousands of women who've gone through this, but it's just got to stop. So hopefully
Absolutely.
the resources are being conjured to try and work on the other side of the coin.
Yes. Yeah, I've got some friends still who are active duty in the service, and from what I hear, it's more of a topic that's more discussed today than it was back when I was in the service. But there's still that part of me, that part of me that speculates. Is it for show, or are they really because I've talked with women even in my field, as a counselor now and a coach, who have had experiences of a similar story like mine, and they're just recently getting out of the military. So it's definitely a problem. It definitely is. And it's really tragic because, I feel like what happens is it does shut women down.
Yeah.
It makes us feel sometimes like our sexuality is something to be ashamed of or afraid of. I think it makes us fear-based towards masculine energy, and I don't think that's healthy either.
Right.
I believe that we all have this mixture of masculine and feminine, and we need them both
Right.
for harmony. So yeah, it's definitely a problem.
So how did you find your way to the resources that you did find to help you heal? Did you have the self-awareness to know that you needed it and seek it out, or did someone guide you?
What happened in a roundabout way. So after, I guess backing up, after I got out of the military, I started to, I was so emotionally numb. I mean, even while I was in service after this happened to me, I began drinking, and I began drinking more and more and more until it actually became a problem for me. I was just really trying to shut down that the pain of it. It was trauma upon trauma,
Yeah.
and so I got to the point where I knew that I was wasting my life. I knew that I was hurting myself, and I didn't want life to be like that. So I had heard that the Veterans Administration, the VA, was doing more to help women who had experienced sexual trauma. And I had a feeling at the time, I hadn't been diagnosed yet, but I had a feeling that I was probably having some PTSD because I was finding myself very hypervigilant around certain situations and, men who seemed a little aggressive. So I sought out that help. It took me probably two rounds of trauma therapy. The first bout I wasn't able to complete. I want to say maybe I did 6 weeks, and it got a little too intense for me. And a couple years later, I went back and did 13 weeks, I believe, of trauma therapy. That really, really helped me put things in place and recognize my resentment I had towards the military now, and deal with that. My resentment I had towards the people who did this to me, and it really helped me to release the blame that I had for myself, because I was still blaming myself a little bit,
Right.
if I just hadn't gone there that night, so that really, really helped. That combined with, at the time, I was really delving into spirituality, just trying to make sense of the world,
Yeah.
and really getting into metaphysical stuff. And I started working with crystals, and somehow I stumbled upon the yoni egg, and yoni eggs. And it took me a while to, get up the courage to start working with those. But coupling my work with, my therapist, and also on my own exploring yoni eggs, those two things combined absolutely revolutionized my sexuality to the point where I was able to begin experiencing pleasure in the bedroom and experiencing vaginal orgasms and multiple orgasms and just pleasure all around.
Oh, that's
It
wonderful.
was really a phenomenal change. Yeah.
Can you tell us what tell us a little bit more about the Oni egg? Not everyone may be familiar with what they are, and so if you could tell us about the Yoni egg, how it works and how you used it, and what you think it is about the Yoni egg work that that unlocked all of this for you.
Yeah, so the yoni egg is basically a crystal or gemstone shaped into the shape of an egg, like you would find in an egg carton. And they've been around for years. I want to say, if I recall correctly, they were ever first called jade eggs and used in ancient China, if I am remembering my history correctly. And essentially what they are is each they come in various different forms of crystals, and each crystal sort of has its own vibration. And so rose quartz, I want to say that was the very first crystal that I ever worked with, and the very first yoni egg I ever worked with. Rose quartz is said to correlate with unconditional love and things of that nature. And so that was the first one that I began working with, because after experiencing all this trauma, I really came to the awareness that what I needed was more self-approval, more love. I mean, who couldn't use more love in our world? So in the beginning, I really just worked with it externally, just carrying it around and holding it in my hand. And then I got up the courage to actually use it internally. And that's the difference with some of these other crystals that you may find in your metaphysical shop. Yoni eggs, you can actually wear them internally by inserting it into the vagina. And that for me was so empowering to, I don't know, be able to work with my own body that way, and really it being a choice about what goes in my body and what doesn't. It really became this exercise for me.
So what I'm hearing is that it's the combination of the vibratory effect of the crystal itself and the symbolic meaning behind the vibration of the crystal, combined with your own decision making in choosing to use this very positive force of a physical object in your body, in your vagina being the most intimate, receptive point of your body, and that the two, by choosing to do that plus all of the other emotional healing that you had been doing with the trauma, that you began to, I guess, soften the energies within your vagina. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's absolutely what happened. It took me, I've been working now with Yoni Eggs for, I don't know, probably, what is it, 2017? I've probably been working with them for, I don't know, 3 to 4 years, but maybe even longer than that. It's now become a tool that I keep in my toolbox. And, I've got many different kinds. And so today I feel totally healed over from my sexual trauma, but it's actually been this amazing gift, because the vibratory nature of each stone kind of works with different things. And so maybe one day I want to work on my ability to receive wealth and abundance. There's an egg for that. Maybe I want to work on clearing. There's an egg for that. So it's really been this tool that's allowed me to sort of take control back in a way where in the past I felt like my control was taken. It's been just such an amazing tool that I recommend for any woman who has experienced anything like this. And what I love about it is you don't have to necessarily work with it internally to get the benefits. You can work with it externally and receive benefits as well.
Can you take us into a moment of breakthrough when you talk about having been shut down to pleasure before doing all of this work, and bring us into a moment where something broke through, and tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, so really for me, what it was about was learning to trust again. I hadn't realized how much my ability to trust got broken the day that that trauma occurred. I couldn't trust myself as much anymore to take care of myself. And I couldn't trust men. I had difficulty trusting people in authority because, I'd gone to seek help and they didn't help me. So the breakthrough for me began through my relationships, as I, really did this trial and error thing. I finally met a man who now we're engaged. But 3 years ago, I met this man who I was able to really open up to about my story, and he heard that. And I explained, this is just my deal. It's going to be touch and go. And at the time, I was still experiencing sometimes, even during sex, I would break down and cry. I really believe that our bodies have like a muscle memory or emotional.
Yeah.
Emotions get stuck in our our bodies and muscles sometimes. And so I explained to him that, you know, this, I really want to be with you, but sometimes sex is just hard for me. And really started to work on that intimacy, just, you know, communicating with a male partner and really building upon that. And at the time I was working with my yoni eggs and, you know, explaining that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, came along with me, and it was just a journey we were both on. And what my breakthrough, when it really happened for me, it was one night I had begun exploring having sex while wearing my yoni eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one night I was wearing a green adventuring yoni egg, and I felt just wave upon wave upon wave of pleasure just beginning to almost bubble up like a volcano inside of my body. And it was the most phenomenal experience. Mm. You know, it really feels like I unlocked the ability to receive pleasure. You know, I just, up until this point, I thought I just couldn't have a vaginal orgasm. I know there's a lot of women out there who still feel that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you
so
know,
in other
it's
words,
just not the case.
You were so you had the yoni egg inserted deeply, and then you were able to have penetration at the same time, or do you mean the yoni egg was in, but you were engaging in other sexual activity at the same time?
No, it was the yoni egg was in, it was deep, and you know I had penetration at the same time.
Okay.
That had been something that, you know, I know that a lot of women are afraid to do that. And I had sort of been exploring this more and more. And it really took the trust piece and the communication piece of saying, hey, let's try this together. And, you know, if it feels weird, like we got to stop. And, you know, he was very open to that. Mm-hmm. And I found to this day, most of them that I've talked with who also use yoni eggs don't really experience any discomfort at all, and neither do their partners.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it actually sort of, for me anyways, has enhanced the pleasure that both I and my partner experience. It's such an amazing tool.
Yeah. Wow. So it sounds like it was probably pressing on one of your deep fornix spots, your A spot or your P spot deep inside, or maybe mm-hmm. stimulating your cervix. But yeah, there is plenty of room there. If you're properly aroused and everything balloons out, then there's
uh-huh.
plenty of room in there. So, wow, that's fascinating. So were you using the string though? You probably didn't have the string attached. Some of them have strings.
Some of them do have strings, and some of them don't. I actually have never worked with one with a string.
So you've been able to get it out just by bearing down, basically.
Yeah, that's also been like a trust piece for me. You know, I sort of embrace the energy of the eggs, and sometimes go into a meditative state and maybe ask the egg, hey, you know, like, are you ready to come out? Or tapping into my body, I guess, tapping into my body and my intuition,
mm-hmm.
and finding out how long does the stone want to stay in? Does it want to come out? And I've never had a problem getting them out. I just, it's really forcing me to trust myself more.
Right. Well, I mean, when you think that we're capable of pushing a baby out through our vagina, you know,
right.
We shouldn't have trouble with a little, you know, half dollar sized
right.
egg.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, first they do make eggs that have the there's a little hole drilled and a string. So that's something that women are worried about, you know, being able to just easily pull it out. That's also an option.
Right. Now, did you take any sort of courses in using the egg, or did you just follow your own intuition and just start using it however it felt right?
I really just was very playful and just started using them and really started to just explore them more. I started going online and trying to find other Facebook groups and things like that where women were talking about this stuff because it's still so taboo for whatever reason to talk about women's sexuality. And I kind of had to go seek it out. I had to go seek out these circles of women who were embracing this and really just, talking with peers. And I didn't take any course or anything. I just sort of spent some time with my crystals, and when it felt right, I just, tried it one day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So where do you feel you are? So I guess let's work in your career path into this story. So did you start to go down the road of wanting to become a therapist? At what point in your story did that happen?
I decided to go into a helping profession. It was a few years after I had gotten out of the military, and I really feel like that whole experience just really, looking at it as a blessing in disguise, I think it really taught me and showed me compassion. It helped me be a little more compassionate for people and their suffering. So I don't know, a few years after I got out of the service, decided that I wanted to do some kind of work, some kind of life path in which I was helping other people. And at the time, I hadn't quite narrowed down that the people I want to help and that I just really love, get so passionate about helping most is a woman who've kind of experienced, similar things. And so it took me a few more years to sort of narrow that down. But through the years, I started out working at a transitional home for women and kids, and there is when I began hearing people's stories, listening to these women's stories and how much trauma that they had experienced, and even in their relationships, how much they were putting their partner's pleasure above their own. And I really began this journey of really trying to empower women to I guess rise up, for lack of a better word, and really allow themselves to heal, allow themselves to experience pleasure. And today it's just become part of my life. I tell people all the time that there's this belief that you can't make a career out of doing something that's your life passion. And I just don't believe that because I absolutely have. This is work that I would be doing for free, I love it. I love what I'm doing. I love watching the transformation and women. And I love really using my story as an example of that because, I'm someone who I just thought it just wasn't going to happen for me. I just thought, hey, I'm one of these women who just I don't get to know what that feels like. I don't get to know what vaginal orgasm or multiple orgasms feel like. I don't get to experience that. And that's just so false. It's just not true. I think most of us can't experience that. I think, in fact, I believe 100% of women, if we work at it, we can figure out how to unlock that ability for ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that because it took me too many decades to arrive at that conclusion myself. I just sort of accepted it as well for most of my adult life. I mean, I'm now in my 50s and it took me years to get over that limiting belief that, oh, I'm just one of those, members of the majority who can't experience these kinds of pleasure. I thought that the only game in town was the one sharp, clitoral peak orgasm, and that, and I kind of got bored with that pretty early on. So, But yeah, so stories like yours are going to inspire so many people. And I'm really, really happy that you've been willing to share it here and in your own work. It's really, really important work.
Thank you.
I mean,
Yes.
imagine what a different world this would be if
I know,
all of
right?
us,
If
yeah.
could awaken to our ability to experience pleasure. Yeah, I think about that.
Yeah.
You know, what this world be like if we all knew that this was possible for us?
Yeah, because I think that the crux of the pleasure that when we as women unlock this for ourselves, I think that the energy comes just as strongly from the heart center as it does from the sex center. And so it's a very compassionate, heart-centered energy that flows copiously, you know. So I do think it
Yes.
would vibrationally change so much about how we experience our world.
Absolutely.
So, tell us a little bit more about how people can find you now if they might be interested in working with you.
Yeah, you can find me at my website, JaniceLachelle.com, and I also run a online support group. It's called the Resilient Spirit Sisterhood, and that's on Facebook.
I love it.
And yeah, I love it too. It's a very safe, supportive place for women to gather, share their stories, and really begin to empower each other and inspire each other.
Awesome. Well, I'll be putting links in the show notes to those, to your website and to the Facebook group. And if you have anything else that you'd like to share in terms of events or anything you have going on, I'll add that if you give that to me.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you were giving advice to someone out there who's maybe they're not experiencing trauma. We've talked a little bit about the advice you might give to someone who's going through that, but if they're
Yeah.
just experiencing shutdown or they haven't yet blossomed into their potential, what would you suggest that they do first?
More than anything in the world, I would suggest finding a sister circle, you know, finding connection with other women. I have found all too often that most of the women I connect with who, you know, present that as their problem, they are a little fear-based around women. I hear stories like you can't trust women. I've been you know, stabbed in the back by women and all this fear around that. And the reason I encourage those women going through that to find other women they can connect with is because I really believe that if you feel like you can't trust women, there's also an aspect of yourself where you can't trust your own self. And I really believe that connecting with others in a community can really help give you that energetic edge that's going to help you break through all of that stuff, gonna help you heal so many more layers than you even knew was there. So that would be my biggest piece of advice. Whatever that connection looks like for you know, I have found what's wonderful about this day and age, since we have the internet, you can just go online and find a group, you know, find a connection with a group of women who are telling your story. Yeah, that would be my number one piece of advice.
Yeah, that's great advice. Is there anything else that you w would like to share before we wrap this up?
I guess the only other thing I would share would be that, you know, like you said, you know, we've talked about trauma quite a bit, but even that emotional shutdown, I would just like to let anybody out there listening right now who may be sort of dealing with this stuff, let them know that, you're not alone. I feel like this is a problem that we sort of suffer with in silence. And I'm just so happy that there's women like you who are providing a platform for this to come out in the open, you know. we need to be talking about this stuff more. We really do.
I agree. We do. And it's still very, very hard. It's taking a lot to get people to engage in this kind of discussion. So if you're out there listening and if you have a story to share of transformation in your sexuality, we would really love to hear your story. So get in touch with me and we'll talk about sharing your story too. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Your story is absolutely inspirational and just touches my heart. So I know it's going to touch a lot of women out there, and I'm really, really grateful to you for opening up.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm just thrilled for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Jamise. So there you have it. If you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, please head over to my website at www.blissrunner.com/podcast/episode5. While you're there, I would really love you to pick up a free copy of the guided meditation that I've created for you. It's a version of the meditation that I used that kickstarted my own sexual awakening, and I'd love for you to have it. If you enjoyed this conversation and you'd like to hear more candid conversations about women's sexual energy, head on over to iTunes and leave a review. I hope you'll join me next week for more candid conversations about women's sexual energy. Until then, I remain blissfully yours.